In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 5, there is a reference to those that weave the spider's web. And the verse 6 says, their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. One of the failings of man is that he thinks more highly of himself than he ought. Man has an inflated ego, bloated with pride. Phariseeism is not dead. It is alive and well. The Pharisees in Bible times were the elite of society. They reckoned that they were a peg above everyone else. That's what we see oozing out of the Pharisee in the temple. Supposedly, he went there to pray, but there was nothing that he sought from God. He reckoned that he was in need of nothing. He was different from those in society around him. But when we come to the scriptures, they do not flatter. The Bible does not deceive. It deals truthfully with our hearts. In this 59th chapter of Isaiah, we are brought face to face with our sinnership. The total depravity of man is made bare. Notice verse 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Down in verses 7 and 8, "Their feet run to evil, they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths, the way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." As you have followed carefully these verses, you will see the mention of the hands, the fingers, the lips, the tongue, the thoughts, the feet. They are all affected by the fall. Oh, there is no soundness in us, spiritually speaking. That reality, you must face up to it. Otherwise, you will never be right with God. Those whom Isaiah was reasoning with, they refused to come to terms with their true condition before God. They wondered why they had not been delivered from their enemies. The prophet encouraged them in verse 1, saying, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." But then he has to acquaint them in verse 2 with these facts: "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Their iniquities kept good things from them. We have a similar thought in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 25, where the Lord says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Oh, the reality is that sin separates between us and God. Not only would these people not face up to their sin, they deceived themselves, wrapped themselves in their own delusions. They believed that before God, all was well. We have the illustration of a spider's web. In conversation, the phrase is often employed, a web of lies, a web of deceit. And instead of facing head on the reality of their sinnership, they were like the spider, busily engaged in spinning a web of deceit, of delusion. It was a vain, fruitless exercise, a waste, a complete waste of time and effort. Is there someone in this meeting tonight, and your hope for eternity is of this kind? It's just like a spider's web. Are you deluding yourself into thinking that you have commended yourself to God when the opposite is the case? You're condemned already by your failure to repent and receive the Lord as your Savior. We want to consider a number of things about this illustration of the spider's web. First of all, the weaving of the spider's web. Have you ever thought of how the web is brought into existence? Does the little creature gather together various bits and pieces from which it weaves the web? No, that's not how it's woven. It comes from within itself. We know that the bee gathers its wax from flowers, from external sources. The spider, by contrast, it weaves its web from within itself. The weaving of the web of self-deception, spiritually speaking, it comes from within. It's the outworking of the sinful heart. The first time we read about the heart in the Bible, the context is Noah's flood. What was in the heart had so manifested itself. The sin, the wickedness, the godlessness of it grieved the Lord and provoked the outpouring of the wrath of God in that awful deluge that swept all outside the ark to destruction. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, we learn that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And against that word continually, there is the marginal rendering of every day. In other words, what was in the heart of man, every day the thoughts of the heart were evil. In dealing with the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, the deceitful web of religiosity, the Lord caused them to look at their hearts, at what was within. In Matthew chapter 15, and verses 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart, the Lord makes it clear, proceed evil thoughts. Notice the plural words. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Psalm 14 and verse 1, we mentioned it this morning. It makes it clear to us where the atheist profession flows from, where it originates from. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. His conscience bearing witness that God is, and having an awareness of his sin, in his heart, within him, he weaves this web of delusion called no God. And he tries to live in the world of make-believe, of wishful thinking. There is no God. His heart is deluded. In Luke chapter 12, the parable of the rich fool is brought to our attention. This man wasn't foolish in respect to the things of the here and now. He knew how to make progress, to advance materialistically. He had major, big plans for the future. Luke chapter 12 and verse 17 indicates where these thoughts originated. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. His heart was void of any spiritual reasoning or consideration. He never thought of other riches, of riches of a permanent nature. He never thought about the key to treasures in the sky. The scripture tells us here in Luke 12 that he was not rich toward God. The natural heart leaves the Lord out. It's estranged from him. And you're busily engaged in weaving a web that somehow will endear you to God, fit you for heaven. But it's all from within yourself. It's an unproductive, unprofitable exercise. There is only one who can bring us from the dark paths of sin to God. There's only one who has spanned the gulf between God in his holiness and justice and we in our wretchedness and defilement, the Lord Jesus. But you will have nothing to do with him. John chapter 3 and the verse 36 explains, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How somber. What a tragedy to live your life abiding a moment by moment, every day, under heaven's displeasure. because of your Christ rejection. The weaving of the web, it's all from within. But then we think, secondly, of the wonder of the web. I am sure that you have looked at a spider's web. You have gone out into the garden, and there in the shrub is the web. The dew of the night is on it. And as the morning sun shines down, how incredible that a spider could spin out of itself. Such a marvel. Such a masterpiece. If it was capable of such a thing, the spider would be proud of its achievement. It's among the four little things that are exceeding wise, all so industrious and diligent in Proverbs 30 and verses 24 onwards. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Oh, the spider could think well of itself. It could give itself brownie points. The web it weaves, whether in the shrub or in the king's palace, what a wonder it is, a masterpiece. And maybe you're pleased with yourself, proud of your achievements, of where you are at religiously. Oh, you do have a place of worship. Your seat's not often empty. You're faithful in saying your prayers, in reading your Bible. You're far more religious than many of your peers. We read of a religious man in Acts chapter 8, Simon Magus. Philip baptized him. Simon Magus said much by way of appreciation of the miracles and signs which were wrought. But in Acts chapter 8 and verse 21, Peter tore away the veneer and said unto him, Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. So here we have this most religious man, religious to his very fingertips, but he's a Christless soul. No doubt well pleased with himself, but God was not pleased with his mere profession. You see, religion can never be a substitute for regeneration by the Spirit of God. The creed can never be any substitute for Christ. You're pleased with yourself religiously, pleased with yourself morally. You're beyond reproach. No one could put a finger on a black spot morally in your life. You're faithful to your spouse. You do no one any harm. You're of the opinion that your upstanding moral character in the balances of the judgment day will make amends for whatever it is that you lack. Nothing can make amends for your rejection of the Son of God on that judgment day. You will be weighed in the unerring balances of the Almighty and be found wanting. You're pleased with yourself charitably. You give so many hours to raising funds for that worthy cause. When a need arises, you're to the fore in contributing. You're busily engaged in weaving a web, and in your eyes, it's a masterpiece. It's wonderful. Isaiah 59 and verse 6 tells us their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Placing your works before the Lord's cross work is only heaping up wrath. It's adding to your guilt before God. Do you know why the spider weaves its web? It's because it's of poor sight. It cannot see other insects, so it traps them in its web. It's aroused to their presence by the vibration of the web. Your eyes are blind. Blind to the wonder of the plan of salvation. Blind to the glory of Christ's redemptive work on the cross as the bearer away of sin. Oh, that the Holy Spirit through the Word would open your eyes and cause you to see not only your sin, but to see the Savior of sinners like you and I. Oh, that you would behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The weaving and the wonder. But let us think thirdly and lastly of the weakness of the web. Wonderfully made, yes. Much effort and pains spent on it. But when all is said and done, the web is a weak, flimsy thing. One swish of the duster, one swipe with the brush, one blast of the wind, and it's gone forever. The spider cannot repair, and it cannot restore it. How silly of the spider to say, I'll shelter under this web. It will provide a covering for me from the birds of prey. Nonsense. These people in chapter 59 of Isaiah were attempting to weave a covering, a garment. Verse 6, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. And what you're trying to do is just like this web. It provides no genuine, real, proper covering. God sees through all that you're trying to do. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, the all-seeing eye is before us. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes with whom, the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All is open. Nothing is concealed from the all-seeing eye. The verse 12 of Isaiah 59 tells us our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Before thee. Your transgressions of God's law are before him. They are in his book. They stand against your name in the divine account. Away with your flimsy covering. The Lord exhorts you in the words of Revelation 3 and verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. I counsel thee to buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You see, there's proper clothing for you. There is a true covering for us. Doesn't the psalmist say in Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Think of the ark in which Noah and his family were safe. They were saved in the ark from the flood. And Genesis 6 and verse 14 tells us that it was pitched within and without with pitch. The word for pitch is the same word as atonement. Covering in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement, a covering for the soul. The eye of God, looking down on the ark, saw the covering that spoke of the atoning work of Christ and was pleased with it. Noah and his family within the ark, they rested secure on the atonement. It covered them. It saved them from the wrath of a sin-hating God. We have these lovely words in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, when the prophet said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Oh, there's a garment of salvation. There is a perfect righteousness for all who repent and receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Many years ago in Los Angeles, it was announced that a man nicknamed the Human Fly, it was announced that he would climb the face of a large department store. Thousands gathered to watch the spectacle, to watch him do the impossible. Slowly and carefully, he clung to a window ledge, a protruding brick, to a cornice. Up and up he went. He looked around for something to grab next. He spied what looked like a gray stone, reached for it, and plunged to his death below. In his hand was found a spider's web. Do not climb to heaven by a spider's web. Job chapter 8 and the verse 14. It speaks of those whose trust shall be a spider's web. What a tragedy to have a hope that is just like a spider's web. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as an anchor that keeps the soul. Jesus Christ has provided a garment woven on the cross and died with his own blood. Oh, leave aside your garments stained with sin and put on Christ, and all are complete in him. He's the mighty to save. He travels in the greatness of his strength. His garments are dyed red. He's the only one who can fit you and I for eternity. He's the only giver of eternal life. May you make haste. May you flee from yourself, from your own works. Flee to Christ, to his glorious gospel. May you be saved. May you receive the atonement. Break up the word and spell out its meaning: at one moment, you can be at one with God through the Savior this night. Oh, may the Lord give to you deciding grace, and may you obey the gospel so that it's eternally well with your souls.